Thank you for tuning in for the next 30 minutes to Victory Gospel Lighthouse Church. We are located at 907 Howard Street in Jennings, Louisiana. We would like to invite you to be our guest Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for our regular service and Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. for Bible study. For more information, please contact us at P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. Now stay tuned for an exciting and anointed message from Pastor Austin Spell.
My daughter's, nearly 50 years old now. Man, where did time go? I know she got paid back for all of this. She had three. Vengeance is mine, thus saith the grandparent. Oh, man. My. Well, I'll never forget that. It broke my heart. And this kid didn't leave home over abuse. She left home over some hairy-legged animal. some goober. The big question I had in my mind was, this kid's never been abused of any kind. When did it become against the law to slap a kid in the mouth? Huh? I wish they'd have told Jim and Joy Summers that in the 60s. Huh? 1969, I'm 16 years old. Do you know you could, after you watch Leave It to Beaver, you could go in and eat supper, back talk your mama at the table, and wake up an hour later over by the freezer? No? Oh, man. Man, go to school the next day with marks right here. It's amazing. I'm almost sure back then I had that, what's that stuff called, a DDT? No? ADHD. Yeah, that's what I had. Self-diagnosed. Did you know that in the 60s they could cure that with leather? I don't know. I'm not going to get through this message, but I'm going to feel better when I get through. I'm telling you, I'm having counseling right here behind this pulpit. It's been amazing. I tell you, my mom will be 90 next month. Dad's been gone about 4 years from February earlier this month, February the 6th, and about 4 years ago. But Mom, man, I'll tell you, she said, well, Gene, you were just out of line. I said, my goodness, there's a bunch of kids out of line today that don't get the snot beat out of them every time. You can see I'm doing a lot better. I just tell you, this kid of mine had no reason run away from home. My goodness, she didn't know what a good keen switch was from a willow tree. Oh, my goodness. Man, and if you ever got on the phone to call Harris County Deputy Sheriff or your parish sheriff, they didn't come to get, the parents. They come to get you and haul you off to juvie. I hope it's East Texas boys getting through to you. I know whenever that kid run away from home, Winky, Mona told me on a Saturday night, and this kid's been gone out of my home 24 hours, and I'm just a mess. I just sat on the floor and cried. I couldn't imagine one of my kids didn't love me, or one of them that she just thought that she was all in love. You know what I do just out of meanness every now and again? I just get on my smartphone. I just get on that phone, and I text my daughter over in Dickinson, Texas, and I say, you know who I'm missing? I miss Clint. No, that's not her husband. You guys are sharp. I preach to you any day of the week. Boy, you catch on quick. And boy, she'll tell me real quick, shut up, Daddy. I'm just telling you, that girl of mine broke my heart. And Mona tells me on a Saturday afternoon, and I had a real job back then. I was pastoring Old River Assembly of God in that community. And Pastor, you've been there at my home many times. I remember Mona telling me, said, you better get over there, cross that parking lot, get to that church. You got a church full of folks that want to hear from you. And I'll tell you, I said, oh, Mona, you don't understand. I've got nothing for them people. I better go. No, you, son, Gino, baby, you'll do better in your brokenness if you'll just give God a chance. I walked across that parking lot and I went right down there under where it says, you know, this do in remembrance of me. I think I crawled under that table on top of a Bible. And you could have heard me cry. I'm talking about praying with a passion, praying like you mean it, praying like you believe it. Our friend, he just passed away in December, Brother Don Brankle, and you've heard him preach many times, a powerful man of God. He died at 94 years of age. And I remember him telling me whenever somebody gave him an elk hunt over in Colorado, and he was sitting out on one of those precipices, and they had taken him, put him on a horse. God help that horse. Yeah, he was a round mound of sound. He was so big he couldn't fit between his shoulders. Eat his cereal out of a satellite dish. Yeah, he was that big a man, I'm just saying. And they put him on a horse and took him up inside one of those mountains and put a rifle in his hand, and he knew what to hunt for. And boy, they told him, he said, now when it gets dark, get over and get on that pony. That pony will bring you right back down that same trail. You know, just give him his head, give him the rein, and let him come. Boy, it turned dark, and Don got turned around, didn't know where he was at. Boy, he couldn't find a horse. He didn't know the trail. He didn't know nothing. The one thing he knew to do, he said, do you know that nobody had to come up that mountain and give me lessons how to yell help? And I'm telling you, there's many of us, when we're in difficult times, Jehoshaphat is trying to tell us, I don't need anybody to teach me how to cry out to God. We need to do it passionately. He said, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and you will save. You're in your prayer time, you're going to have to get beyond, now I lay me down to sleep. You're going to have to get beyond that, you know, and blessing the food. You're going to have to get down. I tell you, I prayed. I talked to the Lord. I told him how bad I was having it, how broken I was. And boy, God began to show me some things in my prayer time. Boy, and you know what happens when you pray? You have a Jehazel moment, where Jehazel, the prophet, stands up and begins to prophesy. Hey, guess what? I know y'all are scared out of your wits. I know this is a dilemma. This is a bad circumstance. But I want you to know that even though you don't know what to do, God has already made a decision in this thing, and you're not even going to have to lift a finger. You're not going to have to battle. I hear Jesus' disciples in the New Testament cry out to the Lord and say, where would we go if we can't come to you? Man, that's the kind of cry that God loves to hear from his people, because he looks for opportunities to just reach out and touch your life and minister to you and do great exploits for your life. I love telling him, and boy, we built a sanctuary unto you. We know to call you by your name. How many of us had grandparents that taught us how to pray and taught us how to pray with faith, believing? Isn't it amazing that when you pray with faith, believe? My grandma, boy, woo! Man, there was a woman. Man, my ma, she's married to Paul. Man, when she sat around the house, she sat around. I looked around here, saw all these pretty little petite grandmas in here. Mine was muy grande. Oh, I'll tell you, I was singing them old nightclubs over there opening for a guy that was out looking for love in all the wrong places. Old Johnny Lee. I'd come in at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning from them old places, man, I'll tell you. Her dog would bite me at the door. I couldn't stay at Mom and Dad's. They had already given me the right foot of fellowship. Some of y'all got to leave home with American Tourister luggage. Mine had a twist tie at the top of it. I jumped in that 66 Chevrolet Super Sport. Boy, I squalled them cheetah slicks. Man, 396 with pop-up pistons, dual-line Holley. Man, I went, what, 50 feet to my grandmother's house. Man, can you? I hated living in that preacher's home, and can you say out of the frying pan into the fire? My ma would hit that floor in the middle of the night and begin to cry out to God, God, save Gene. Don't let that boy go to hell. You know he's going to hell, Lord. That's what you want to hear at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. Boy. Well, Jehazel got up and began to prophesy and began to say, you know, you're not going to have to fight this battle. And I had a grandma that knew how to look upon a situation, and she had those seemingly secret words that she would use, and God always listened to her when she said, I plead the blood of Christ. I plead the blood of Jesus. God, if you've ever done anything for me before, give me a miracle to testify about. Lord, give me something to walk in the church over there and testify about. Work this miracle for me and my family. Boy, I'll tell you, when you've been raised right, you've been raised under somebody that knows how to operate under the blood. I'll tell you, man, he may not be there when you want him, but he's always on time. My goodness, out of obedience, Jehazel. See, you know, we forget sometimes in here. I know you want to be obedient to him, but you need to be obedient to him in everything. Well, when you don't pay your tithe, you're not being obedient. It did not work in Louisiana. Yeah, well, I just got to tell you, when you don't pay your tithe, you look God in the face and say, you know, you're just not big enough to take care of the needs in my life. That's why I don't pay my tithe to you. You can't outgive him when you're faithful. You can't. If you'll be faithful out of obedience, I'm telling you, obedience without God, it's impossible to please God without obedience in your life. If you love him, you know, he wants you to be obedient to him. I love the faith part. You know, the faith part of this, it seems so simplistic to me. It's like that old boy with a wheelbarrow running across that tightrope over Niagara Falls in the 1920s. Actually happened. Well, back and forth with that wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls. No net, understandably. Back and forth. And about the third or fourth trip back across, he said, how many of you believe I can make it back across the fifth time? And boy, all the crowd went wild. He said, well, somebody get in the wheelbarrow. I believe that the faith that you and I should have is the kind of faith that when we pray for rain, we carry an umbrella everywhere we go. Amen. I believe in that type of faith. You pray with faith. You have obedience. You're a tithe payer. You live for God. You attend church. Come on. So you don't have to go through spilling the beans every time some calamity comes upon your family. You don't have to pray through all over again because you've been faithful in every facet of your life. Amen. How many times in worship have we had it where, as a kid growing up in the Pentecost Church of God, not the Cleveland, Tennessee, but the Joplin, Missouri group. And boy, we... man, we just, our Sunday nights were so powerful. And boy, they'd be leading worship. We had a gentleman in our church, and I've forgotten the man's name, but he had been blind since he was about 12 years old. And so he had some schooling. He had been able to learn to read and to write and some things. And whenever an accident took his sight from him, he had to learn all over again how to do Braille and do all the different things that it takes to be that handicapped in life. And there he is in our worship service in his late 70s, and people had to, of course, go and get him, bring him to church. Anything in his life that his sight normally would take care of, well, he always just had to have somebody do things for him. But that night, do you remember when we used to have the banners on the walls and the attendance record was hanging up there, and in the middle of the worship service, the power of God had hit that place, and the Spirit of the Lord just seemed to be moving across the people. I can't say for sure. I was a child at the time, whether it was a Shekinah glory of God, but I knew that the Holy Spirit was in that place whenever they shut the music down and everything down from that man yelling that I can see. Nobody had laid hands upon him. Jehoshaphat said, when they begin to praise and they begin to worship, that God discomfited the armies of the enemy down there in the valley, and they begin to kill one another. I tell you, if you'll just be faithful to him, he doesn't need you to fight those battles. He just wants to be given an opportunity through your faithfulness and your obedience. We receive not because we ask not. My. Oh, I remember the difficulty. That kid, I remember the night I went and prayed, Pastor. I was laying on that altar and the communion table, anywhere that I was small enough to get under. Because I felt that low. And boy, I heard the Spirit of God speak into my heart and say, get out from underneath that altar. And when I got out, I sat on the pew, and he said, you know good and well where your daughter is. He said, You're not lost in this thing. You know what he told me? He said, you're not the only one in a foxhole tonight. He said, there's other people out there tonight that will never see their children again. And you know exactly where your kid's at. Boy, I'll tell you, it was a learning experience to me. I was trying to find where, Lord, I've got nothing in this black back book, the B-I-B-L-E. I don't have anywhere to go in the morning. He took me directly to Mark, the 5th chapter. And I've forgotten which verse it was there, but Mark is the only one that records it. Matthew doesn't record it. Mark is the only one that records it. John didn't record it. Luke didn't record it. But the only part of the story they ever recorded that Jesus is in the bow of this boat and declared, peace be still. And there was calm came over the water. Mark is the only one that takes time there in the 5th chapter. And Mark looked around and said, makes one little statement that all of us seem to miss at times in our life. And there were other little ships with him also. You're not the only one in this battle. You're not the only one that's been to hell and back in a relationship and had difficulties come your direction. You're not the only one's had his heart broken or been grieved yourself to tears or cried yourself to sleep at night. I want you to know that God says, would have you to know that there's others out there that have been to hell and back, and they made it, and so will you. Well, I'll never forget that. I'll never forget walking out. Mona said, hey, you need to go find out about that kid anyway. I said, well, what do you want me to go find out? Well, you know where they live. I said, yeah, I know where they live. I got in that car of mine, and about a mile from my house, I drove up in that driveway. Well, I tell you, did I mention to you that I was raised in Channelview, Texas? Now, y'all think you have some rednecks here. I can tell. I've been around y'all for too many years. I know you think you've got some rednecks here, but in Channelview, we had real rednecks. They checked us every day. We went to school for a gun or a knife, and you didn't have one, they give you one. We were real rednecks. There were more on the rodeo team than there was on the football team. And I just, every now and again in a lifetime, I'm 71, be 72 in a couple of months, Pastor. Got here quick as I could. Man. And I'm just telling you, from time to time in my life, Winky, the spirit of Channelview has risen up in me. I know that's hard for y'all to believe. I drove up in that man's driveway, and the kids weren't there. They had gone somewhere to get a bite to eat, and I went in that driveway, and Mindy, y'all start making your way here. I'm finishing up. I'm the one got to drive home. I know y'all try to keep me all day. I ain't staying. Man, I pulled up in that driveway, and I got out of that car, and I walked up on that porch, and screen door, and I knew what faith they were, and I'm not demeaning anybody, but I knew they did not have full gospel in their church name, and I knew they were church people, but man, I didn't know that you could be a Baptist and be filled with the Spirit. Because he had to be, because he became a prophet that quick. Yeah. He took one look through that screen door at me. And he saw the spirit of Channelview all over me. And he looked at me and said, Reverend, that's the key word. They do it every time. Mona grabbed me one time. I stepped off a curb, and an old boy liked to hit me with his car at the Walmart. And I jumped back up on that curb. Mona pulled my belt loop, get me back. And I gestured and went, whoa! And he showed me his team was number one, I thought. And boy, I started waving. Come here, goober. There it is. That's it. That's all I got, goober. And about that time, boy, I'll tell you, Mona looked at me and said, Reverend Summers. I said, Mona, R-E-V in front of my name stands for rest, eat, and visit.
Right now.
Well, I looked at that man through that screen door. You know what he said to me? Christian, he said, Reverend Summers, do I need to call Liberty County Sheriff? I thought, you sure do. How did you know? No. I looked at him through that screen door. I said, no, sir, I'm sorry. I said, you know what? I'm sorry you read that in me. I said, I'm just devastated through this. And I said, I'm going to drive on out of here. The kids are not here. I'm going to go back home. You certainly don't need to call the law. But I pray that this never happens to you. Your little 12-year-old daughter has been in and out of our parsonage and our home. And I want you to know that I would never do this to you as a dad. Uh-huh. I just want you to know that. I'll tell you, Pastor, you've been so proud. I got in that car. I pulled out that driveway. I don't know why it still touches me to think of that moment in my life. But I never spun a tire. I never was ugly in that thing. And God, gave me my kids back. I tell you. We're a microwave generation in the hands of a crockpot God. He may not be there when you want him, but he's always on time. It'd only be fair to give you an addendum that my oldest granddaughter, I did her wedding here a few years back, but I reminded her in her wedding of her mama's favorite word. My Janelle, my oldest daughter, she had this word. Now, it took two words put together, but you had to say it special. I hate to say it with my back to y'all because you don't get the pure effect, but my Janelle could look at you and say whatever. And whenever she said it, she could gnarl her face. Yeah. It was almost demonic. Yeah. 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 Full of the devil. And when she used that word, you felt the knife go in and you felt her twist it. Yeah.
Right.
So Reagan, my oldest granddaughter, is about 12 at the time. She come to the house, and she wasn't doing good, Mindy. So I said, oh, this ain't working. Get over on the phone. Call your mama to come get you. You know, the parents, grandparents' delight. The headlights coming in and the taillights leaving. You know, yeah.
Amen.
Buddy, I'll tell you, she got over there on that phone. Oh, Lord, Jenny, it was good. She's talking to her mama on the phone, and about that time, I saw her face contort, and I saw her lips gnarl up, and she looked in there, at her mama, and she said, whatever. I started shouting, there is a God. There, woo, yeah. I almost had a Shundai moment. I almost went to dancing in the spirit. And I heard my daughter yelling over the phone, shut up, Daddy. I don't know what you faced in life. We lost a baby. We had some difficult things. Who'd ever dream you'd ever have people that you thought were dear friends that would turn against you? Watching my family go through some disappointments and times when they weren't chosen to be the one, to be the quarterback of the team or to be the best at what they were. And watch them from time to time sit the bench and just be a good grandpa or good grandmother sitting in the stands. I'll tell you what, life can be difficult without Jesus. I heard this bunch. They put it in the form of a question, but they said, did we not build a temple in your name?
That's right, amen.
Do we not use your name when we're in this temple? We can't mention Jehovah, use it outside, but we can use it. Isn't your name in this temple? Boy, I'll tell you, it's good whenever you've lived for the Lord, been obedient to him, had faith in him and worshiped him, when you can look straight in his face and say, I've been faithful.
Amen.
I've been faithful, and you said, if I would be faithful, you'd make me ruler over many things. I need your help. I plead the blood of Christ.
Pastor Spell and the congregation of Victory Gospel Lighthouse wish to thank you for tuning into our broadcast and want you to join us at the same time next Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for more of God's Word here on HLE Radio. If you would like to partner with us by spreading the gospel, you can send your support to P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. If you would like to listen to more sermons, you can do so by going to hleradio.com and clicking on Online Sermons, Victory Gospel Lighthouse. We hope you will join us next week. God bless you and God bless America.
No, I'm not perfect, and I'll never be. Your sweet forgiveness, Lord, can rescue me. Here comes His grace again. There goes my fear. Here comes my Lord and friend to drive my